More of a tribute to Glenn Miller. And now we're into the 1939s, the 40s, the 41s, and the hit records begin. Listen to some of them. Listen, too, to the people that knew Glenn Miller, that worked with him.
In 1939, Frank Sinatra was singing with the Harry James Band. Of Glenn Miller, he says,
as best I can remember, I first heard the Miller Band sometime between 38 and 39, and I was in New Jersey at the time. Glenn first started that new sounding band that he had, and I believe at the time he was at the Glen Island Casino. I was working in a place called the Rustic Cabin. It was a little saloon on the Route 9W in New Jersey. We had a good look at the Riviera, where all the big stars were working. And I was getting in those days what is commonly known as coffee and cake money. The first time I heard the Glenn Miller Band, I walked up to him and I said, Glenn, I want a job. I really did. But he was busy hiring Ray Eberly at the time. And he said, don't call me, I'll call you.
And he never called.
Canada's foremost expert on Glenn Miller, Warren Reed, was asked what kind of a person Glenn Miller was.
He was a fairly complex individual, evidently. He was a difficult man at times to get along with because he was such a perfectionist. And he would never hesitate to tell a man off or even to fire him if that man wasn't giving what he should be giving. Miller was a very, very warm family person. He was completely tied up in his wife and the one child he had at the time.
It's true that In the Mood was probably one of Glenn Miller's greatest hits, actually been recorded a year or so before Glenn Miller ever got near it by, of all people, Artie Shaw, but recorded at about half the tempo and not nearly as exciting. There's more of the Miller story to follow after this. Now back to more of our tribute to Glenn Miller. These are the 40s.
When Glenn Miller organized his 1938 band, he brought in Ray Eberly, younger brother of Bob Eberly, with Jimmy Dorsey at the time. Ray thinks back on those days for us.
When I arrived in New York, it was at night, and I went over to the hotel in New Yorker and walked into the room, which was dimly lit. And at the time I walked in, my brother was up on the stand singing. Well, Bob and I looked quite a bit alike. I walked past the table where Glenn Miller was sitting. I didn't know Glenn Miller, but he did a double take. He said, "Gee, how can this happen? The guy's up on the stand singing, and I swear he just walked past my tape." And he was sitting with Jimmy Dorsey's manager, and he said, "Well,
That's Bob's kid brother. He's down for the weekend. Glenn said, well, you know, I'm starting a band, and if this guy sings, I'd sure like to audition him tomorrow. So I went up the next day and auditioned and got myself a wonderful job, $35 a week. When I started with him, I was a real boy singer. I was singing so high then that the dogs couldn't even hear me. I think the last couple of things that we did, and one thing we did in the picture, Serenade in Blue, and at last, those were about the last things I did with Glenn. I think they're probably the most mature, shall we say.
The St. Louis Blues.
Now a critic for the TV Guide, Cleveland Amory was an avid Glenn Miller follower back in the 1940-42 period. When asked if he remembered anything in particular about the orchestra, he said...
Well, I do remember one song that a friend of mine asked him about when I first heard it. It was When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again. And, of course, I always thought that was at the farthest back, a First World War song. It was one of Miller's most famous arrangements. But actually, that song was a Civil War song. It was written in 1863, and I think in this tribute we should pay tribute to the fact that Miller's arrangements were not only wonderful, but his choices were wonderful. He had a way of, he had a great belief in the recurring of tunes.
Before his television successes in New York, Dave Garraway was a disc jockey for a Chicago radio station. What did he think about Miller in those days?
You know, no one knows the reason that the Miller Band became the unforgettable thing it is. There were a lot of good bands, but only one Miller Band. But one theory is that he just liked to share his music directly with people. Now, Glenn could have been successful just making phonograph records or just playing on a big radio show or appearing in theaters. But he didn't. Every summer, he took the whole band on a tour and played in not only big cities, but in small towns, lots of them. And wherever he went, regardless of the size of the crowd or the weather, always the Miller Band played like the Miller Band, like a command performance.
Remember the Miller medley? This was the first record Sinatra was to make with Dorsey.
The green of the countryside had turned to blue. I had the moon right on my fingertips, and when first we kissed, there were stars on your lips to be with you. just made it seem that walking on snowy clouds was not a dream. Fell down and I met you.
For Something Borrowed, Glenn borrows from Tommy Dorsey, Tommy's famous theme, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You.
Famous Miller medleys from one of his broadcasts from the year 1940. Oh, there's more to follow, much more here, after we hear this.